Hey, it's Brett.
And Nathan.
Here to remind you about...
Patreon!
Are you going to do that the whole time?
Yes!
Listen, guys, Patreon's only a couple bucks a month, and we'd really appreciate your support over there. Of course, you don't have to. The podcast is always free to listen to, but if you want to unlock exclusive bonus video content, you got to do it through Patreon.
There's all kinds of things that you're going to unlock. You get the video versions of the podcast, as well as videos of us riding around in cars and yelling at people and screaming dadisms. You also get a bevy of dad jokes, like a whole boatload of them.
There's a bunch of malarkey over there.
Yeah, some hullabaloo to enjoy.
That's enough of this promo. Now on with today's episode. Funny to me.
It's a quality podcast that we have.
Absolutely, man.
I think it is.
We're providing both. We're providing quantity and quality.
Truly.
You know how many videos people are getting of us on a weekly basis?
So many.
So many. And they're quality.
I think they are.
We're providing both, dude.
It's the perfect combo of comedy and genuinely helpful material. Things that our fathers passed down to us.
Yeah. And it's all real. That's the thing. That's why I love podcasting, you know?
Yeah.
It's so intimate and real.
Yeah. We just get to vent our problems to the world. From and
Whoops. It's the Roxanana White Pod with this manly bod, Brett Depper. With Jake on awkward, a handy dad who built a den. What the heck? Just hanging out and talking dad stuff. Don't get cool, dad, any dad guff. So take a knee. We're talking no malarkey, tie your pressure, playing catch, time up, corner, doing raves, it's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dad buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around. Radioactive Dad. I love that you got interrupted by our theme song.
Yep. That's just how it goes, because it's a quality podcast.
Also, I only hear that now once a week on here, because it's not like I drive around in the car listening to our theme song.
Do you miss it?
Well, yeah, every time I start to hear it here, I forget how much I love it.
Yeah.
It puts a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Greg Jenkins and Zabeth Russell making quite a theme song for us. Thank you to them.
Just some talented folks, I say.
Oh, it's really fun. I love it.
I kept thinking.
What were you in the middle of saying, though? I'm interrupting you.
I don't know. I just kept saying I wanted to hear it more and more, but then I realized I think if I make it my ringtone, if I make it part of my daily listening routine, I don't want to lose that joy that I feel
right
when I hear it that one special time a week.
I wonder if there's a way we could make it downloadable for people who do want to make it their ringtone, though.
I think it should be on SoundCloud.
Maybe.
I feel like I've done that before when people put their stuff on SoundCloud and they say, hey, just download it.
We probably have to clear all that with the composers and
probably
stuff. We'll figure it out.
But how great would it be if their song was just the world's ringtone?
If you guys really do want that as your ringtone or want to be able to download that song, like, just let us know and we'll try to figure it out. Hit us up on the email or tweet us or whatever.
You know how like phones have customizable notification sounds and stuff?
Sure.
If you can hook it up to the Patreon app
so that
every time one of our bonus content things posts, it goes, dang.
You're just at a work lunch and it's like, from iCarly, Nathan Crest. Still rocks a nano iPod with his manly bod.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, dude. I think we should put on Instagram as an Instagram post the full lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
Because I think it gets lost. Like you just kind of even got lost in it. It gets lost a little bit, but it's genius.
Yeah. I didn't even know that it spoke of my manly bod.
It says that I'm a manly dad who built a deck.
What the heck?
What the heck?
Now, is that because you built a deck in real life or Jake Rosati built a deck on Awkward?
No, Brett Davern built a deck in his backyard.
Look at you.
Yeah, buddy. Hell
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's some Grey's Anatomy stuff. That's some McSteamy.
McSteamy? McDreamy?
Which one was Patrick Dempsey? He was McSteamy, right?
No,
McDreamy. And then other homeboy was, yeah, that's right.
McSteamy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, McDreamy built a deck.
Did he build a deck?
He did build a deck.
He was kind of a manly man.
He built a deck.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah. You know, Patrick Dempsey's a manly man. He races cars and stuff.
Yeah, he is. Manly men are the ones who race cars.
Absolutely.
Like us.
Yeah.
That's mostly why we're manly men, is because we are semi-professional race car drivers.
Is this whole episode just going to be about how manly we are?
I'm running out of ways to explain it, so we probably shouldn't, because all I've got is chest hair and two charity Pro-Am race car races.
That's pretty manly.
Those are my top two things that indicate.
What's been going on with you this week?
Oh, man. Oh, this weekend, dude, we did a staycation.
Okay.
It was amazing.
What does this entail?
Okay, so we brought Rosie to my parents' house, who are probably about an hour away.
Okay.
We kicked it off on a Thursday with the LA County Fair.
Okay.
So brought Rosie. It was her first time. My first time in probably at least 15 years.
Is that they do that out at like Santa Anita?
No, Pomona, the Pomona Fairgrounds.
Oh, Pomona.
Yeah, right by the drag strip where the NHRA races.
Oh, okay.
Remember Antron Brown?
Yeah.
Who we raced with? He races over there.
What's the one? I thought they had a fair out there by the horse track. Maybe not.
I don't know if they do. I've never been to it.
All right.
But it's like the big LA County Fair is like the one that everybody goes to.
Yeah, lots of deep fried stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. I was able to bypass most of it, but I couldn't say no to a turkey leg.
Oh, yeah. You got to get a turkey leg.
Did that and then was very disappointed with some chowder fries.
Chowder fries?
Yeah, like fries with clam chowder and like bacon and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
But they were like they didn't really fry the fries. They were kind of just like semi-hot potatoes.
Dude, you know what? Hold on. We'll get back to the weekend's activities in a second. Can I just say, though, I have started being such a pedantic, pretentious, all the P words when it comes to ordering French fries at restaurants.
I'm the guy now.
Yeah, I know. I'm the guy now who goes, they say, you know, do you want fries or whatever? And I go, yeah, give me the fries. But hey, hold on. Can they be extra crispy? Can they please be well done, extra crispy fries? Because for some reason, and I don't know if it's like living in the LA bubble where everyone's avoiding trans fats or whatever's going on. Maybe they switched all the oils to
avocado.
You know, just the oil that comes from a hippie's armpit. I'm not really sure
what
happened.
That's some thick stuff.
But I feel like for the last year and a half, the crispiness of French fries at restaurants, that has been going down, steadily downward. The fries have been getting limper as we go through life here. I never used to have to say crispy fries. Now I have to say it everywhere I go. You don't feel the same way?
Maybe I'm just going to the old stalwarts that are just doing it the real good way.
Maybe you just live slightly outside of the LA bubble.
That's true.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm too close to Calabasas.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, where all the hippies are, where they're juicing their pits.
Yeah.
Just directly into the fryers.
Well, anyway, I'm sorry. Back to your staycation.
They don't get as hot. Well, okay. So
you get
my
the
limp
fries,
my hippie pit fries.
Your limp fries with clams all over them.
Yep.
Hey, come get your limp clam fries. Wait, that's even hard to say. Come get your limp clam fries.
That sounds like something that would be at the fair.
That food truck would not work.
No, bad optics there.
Oh, gross.
But they look good in the picture, so I wanted to go for it. But anyway, so, you know, Rosie got her fair food, went to the petting zoo, saw all the animals, danced to the guy playing the guitar. We couldn't really do any rides because she's not tall enough to do anything yet except for the merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm.
So we did do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we kind of kicked it off. My mom took Rosie and hung out for a while. And then we went on rides and just kind of did the fair thing and just had fun. And that was great. Got Rosie a bunch of ice cream right before bed. And more than several bites.
Good.
This time.
Good.
She had a fair amount of ice cream.
Good.
It was right before bed, which is also irresponsible. So
I was
going to
say, are you relaxing on that a little bit?
No.
Okay.
It was mostly an accident. We paid for it later because she did not want to go to bed. She
was
running around her room like, this is so great.
Yeah, but she's having fun.
She is. But then we were like, okay, but we're leaving her tonight. We're not going to be there if she has a weird night and she didn't eat that much besides I don't want to put that on my parents.
Oh, please. They're fine. They raised you, didn't they?
That's true.
They're fine.
But it's been a while. We just didn't want to kick it off on that. But fortunately, we just left her And we said night, night, and she said bye.
I feel like that's good for you too.
It was good.
That's a good learning. That's a good, not even learning. That's a good like growing thing for you guys as well as her.
It was a good experiential thing to say like, she's old enough where she's got this.
Yeah.
You know?
And you trust your parents, obviously. Exactly. So they've got it too.
So, you know, we didn't even, normally we like bring food over and stuff, like stuff that we know that she can eat and everything. This time was kind of just like, here's some toys. Have fun.
Dude, I love it.
So it was good.
You're
it
relaxing.
Yeah, it was nice.
Good. That's good.
So then in like the hour drive home, we started just kind of the decompression thing.
Oh, so you guys left. So you left her.
We left her at my parents' house.
At grandma and grandpa's house.
For the weekend.
Wow.
And then drove back to our house to have the house completely to ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, man. Oh, it was so great. We had our first drive where it was just this mix of quiet. Like we kind of just wanted to enjoy what a quiet car ride sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And then also blaringly loud music.
Yeah.
Like really, really loud music, which was great.
And just like really hardcore gangster rap.
Yes. It was a lot of Biggie.
Yeah.
A lot of
like
DMC.
Super violent. Just like,
yeah. Yeah, some NWA. Yeah. all the stuff that we just can't play for Rosie.
That's great.
So we did that and then got home. And we got in the garage, and then we walked in the house and just stood there.
Yeah.
And it was dead silent.
Yeah.
Like, normally, when it's silent, it's because Rosie's asleep.
Yeah.
But you hear the of the monitor as kind of your white noise is just always there. It's never 100% quiet.
Yeah.
But this was the first time.
We just got rid of the monitor finally.
Whoa.
For the second kid.
That's a big step.
So, and now, and because we're done. I mean, we're done unless like something happens.
Surprise.
You know? But we're planning on being done. And so we just got rid of the monitor.
That's
so
huge.
Nice. Dude, you don't have that like, dang it, no more.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's so much psychological stuff there too.
Oh,
that feeling of like, what if I don't hear the monitor?
Yeah.
What if they need me and they can't get to me?
That sounds great. Tough shit. They'll have to work it out.
Yeah. That's parenting. That's what being a good parent is.
People are like so mad at me right now. He doesn't care about his kids.
You're a monster.
It's a joke, everybody.
It's also good parenting.
Yeah. Can I tell you? The idea, so, okay, my parents are great. They come in town all the time. Mm-hmm. They help out with the kids a lot. I'd say on average, they're here sort of like once every 6 weeks to 2.5 months, like somewhere in that window, which has been awesome.
That's
and
nice.
If something comes up, you know, if me and Mrs. Davern or, you know, get invited to a wedding that's out of town or like whatever, Seattle's so close and they just fly down and it's great, right?
Yeah.
And it's a huge help. But what we've realized lately is now that the kids are getting a little older, now when they come in town to help out, sometimes they'll take the kids out for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So then we are at the house alone, which is what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy now is 4.5, the girl's 2.5. So for the longest time, they've been coming in town to help. And then me and Mrs. Davern leave the house.
Right.
To have a dinner or whatever, which is fantastic, like I said. But we forgot about what it's like to be inside the walls of the house by yourself and how nice that is.
Yeah.
Not even just because it's quiet all of a sudden and you could read a book or something, which we haven't even done yet, but because now we can get something done.
Yeah.
Like a project or something.
Mm-hmm.
We can go, oh, you know, we've been meaning to tackle that closet that's become a nightmare or whatever. And so what I'm basically saying is, like, just the wonderfulness of people helping in that way, of taking the kids out of the house for a second, or like you said, like dropping them off at your parents' house and then you get to go back home.
Yeah.
Because getting to experience your house in that state is something that I think we forgot about.
Yeah.
And we as well got to experience recently, and I forgot how nice it is.
That's so great. It all started because we were looking around at Airbnbs in our area to just say, okay, what if our parents come over, watch the baby, and we go somewhere? But we were looking at it, and we were like, honestly, all of these places are really expensive. And as we looked around our house, we started thinking, you know what? Our house is really nice.
Yeah.
Why don't we just stay here? go to our community pool.
Sure.
And lay out in the morning, go to our favorite coffee shop.
Yeah.
And sit there without having to manage a baby.
Right.
And eat our empanadas.
Sure.
In peace.
Sure.
You know, and then just go lay out and hang out, sleep in our bed that we love that's so comfortable.
Well, like I said, it's one thing to have the parents come over to your house to watch the kids and you fly off to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course, that's fantastic. But you still didn't get the time in your own space, or like you said, go to your coffee shop, which is, there's something in that as well.
Yeah. Oh, it was massive.
Yeah.
That whole thing, oh, it was the greatest. Although, of course, this every time, this hasn't happened in years, but of course it happens on our one staycation. I somehow missed an email from my voiceover agent that I had a, like, same day in-person voiceover audition at my agent's office in Beverly Hills, because the casting director was only going to be there for that one day at that one time, and I had a 10-minute window that I had to be there, and I didn't get it until about 2 hours before.
Mm.
And it was for, like, a big project, and fortunately there was no script or anything, because I had to go in and sign an NDA before I could even read anything about it.
Yeah.
So there was nothing really to prepare for, but we were there at the pool. I'm all oiled up. We're getting ready to have our big day of doing nothing.
This was like on a Friday or something?
Yeah, this was on Friday.
Yeah.
And I got the email Thursday afternoon, and it was for the next day, but we were at the fair. I had my battery saver turned on, so I didn't get the email notification. I had to check it manually because I was trying to have it good for the whole day. So I didn't get it, and I forgot to turn my battery saver off, so I see it while I'm there at the pool, and I look over and I tell London, okay, staycation it is, but we got to go to Beverly Hills now.
I got to go make a stop.
Yeah, and there was that moment of like, okay, do we go together?
Yeah, but that means you're going to get it, dude. The ones that you don't think about that much, those are the ones you get.
All right, I'm counting on that.
I'm telling you.
This would be a fun one. It would
every
be really
job
cool.
I've ever, most of the jobs I've ever gotten are the ones that I care about the least or like prepare the least.
Yeah.
It's so counterintuitive some reason.
That is truly a thing.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll keep us updated on that.
Yeah, we'll do.
But how was the rest of the staycation? After the quiet moment in the kitchen.
After the quiet moment, everything, you know, we went down to Beverly Hills. We still kind of came back and did everything that we were still planning on doing. And, oh, it was so great. We thought it was just going to be a lot of relaxing and, you know, watching screeners that we haven't seen yet and just kind of being lazy and doing nothing. But we were almost more active and actively engaged with each other,
mm-hmm.
which was great. I think mm-hmm. the TV was on for maybe 20 minutes over a quick lunch for that entire weekend. And it was so great. We just had so much good conversation. We talked about so many important things, and we got so connected to each other again, and it was not what I was expecting at all. I thought it was going to be so much lazier, but it was actually super productive and really helpful to just have the place to yourself. And toward the end, we started thinking, okay, if my parents are down and if this goes well, because we told them, like, we'll get the report when we get back, but for now, if anything's going wrong, unless it's something that only we can help with,
don't call us, we'll call you.
Right, exactly. So before we left the house to go pick her up, we were saying, okay, if this goes well, maybe this can become kind of a more regular thing.
Of course, yeah.
But this time, we already had the list of, like you said, projects that need to be done around mm-hmm. the house. We were like, okay, next staycation, we're going to do the garage together. And we're just going to make a day of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had dozens of other things
that we still wanted to do. I think it's a good lesson, man. It's kind of interesting that we both learned this at the same time without even ever talking about it. I think it's a good lesson. I think that even if you don't drop the kids off somewhere, or maybe your kids are a little older or something mm-hmm. like that, it's important to remember that I think we all get bogged down with, like, let's go to Big Bear this weekend. Let's go camping this weekend. Let's go here this weekend. We need to go somewhere to entertain ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But I think the realization that you had and the one that I'm having as well is, hey, let's just even as a family stay home, rent some movies, pop some popcorn, whatever we're going to do, but treat our house like it can be a vacation just as much as going to Disneyland can be.
Yeah.
It's important to remind yourself of that, I think.
And it's great. It saves you a ton of money.
Totally.
It saves you groceries because you've already got a stocked fridge and pantry. Stock bar, hello.
And you learn to love your house again.
Exactly. It makes you appreciate what you've already got.
Yeah.
It's very smart.
I love it, man. I have a story for you about the boys' first curse word.
Oh, boy, we should talk about that after the break.
Okay, let's take a break. I'll tell you the story afterwards. All right, so
tell me.
It's very simple. Like I said, he's 4 and a half, and the other day we went out. I don't remember when this was. Maybe like a week ago or so. Anyway, we go out into the garage to get in the car to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they always want to bring like a toy or a book or something like that in the car. Yeah. And the rule is like pick one thing, you know, just grab one thing. Because the girl, we call her like a bag lady because she just like walks around with these like, you know, the reusable grocery bags.
Yeah, yeah.
She has a bunch of those that she just has grabbed onto, uh-huh. and she'll fill them full of toys and want to bring the whole thing. Oh. And you're like, no, just pick one. Like, mm-hmm. We're not going overnight. We're just going to the drugstore, right. You know? Anyway, so we go out in the garage to get in the car, and he's got like his Buzz Lightyear or whatever it is that he wanted to bring. And we get close to the car, and he just loses grip of it and drops it onto the ground. Mm-hmm. And it fell, clang, 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 clang. And he just stopped. He looked down at it and he went, shit. With that exact inflection.
Exactly correct.
He just goes,
wow.
Shit. While looking down at it. And I went, I just sort of silently put my hand in the air. Like, that's on me. Like, my bad. Like, I was like a quarterback who just threw an interception and points to his own chest. You know what I mean? Like, that one's not on the receiver. That one's on me.
Yeah.
Like, if he's the receiver, he's been receiving that every once in a while throughout his life. That one's on me. I'm the quarterback in that situation. I threw the pick. That one's on me. So I owned it. But then I also had to like hide my chuckle.
Right.
It's hilarious.
It was so perfect.
Have you ever heard a 4 and a half year old say shit? It's really funny. There's no way you cannot laugh at that. You could be the most like straight laced, just perfect person, whatever. You've never done anything wrong in your life. Or you know what I mean? Or like you wouldn't find that kind of thing funny. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not into, you know, off color comedy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You see a 4 and a half year old drop a Buzz Lightyear on the ground and then say shit with that line reading, you're gonna laugh. Oh, it's like a fart in church. Like you can be the most pious person ever.
But if you hear
someone rip one in one of the pews, you're gonna laugh.
Everyone's losing it.
So I just I didn't and then it's that thing too where I don't wanna scold him too bad because first of all, it's not his fault. He's just repeating what he's heard before. Right. And so you can't blame it on him. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't think we've ever, like, it's not like I've ever said shit and then looked at him and said, by the way, that's a bad word. Don't ever say it.
Right.
I've just said
what
it,
does he know?
Didn't notice that I've said it, and moved on. So how's he supposed to know that he's not supposed to say it? So if I'm scolding him, what am I scolding him for?
Yeah. For saying the word that you say when you drop something?
Exactly. So I didn't even really say anything. I think the best thing to do in that situation is just kind of ignore it. And if it becomes too much or out of hand, then you are going to have to address it, obviously. Yeah. And I have to tell you, this happened about a week ago, and it's never happened again. So...
Hmm. Okay. So then maybe that is it. It's don't give it credence. Because if you do, then he's like,
Yeah, I mean... If you turn around and you go crazy over the thing that happened, then maybe that memory gets locked in their brain of, I said that thing and that was the bad thing to say and dad got so upset. And maybe there's a moment down the line where they're trying to piss you off where they'll like say it on purpose.
Yeah, whip that out.
Or something.
Right.
So I just sort of took a beat, internally recognized that that one's on me. Sort of chuckled to myself and then went, come on, get in the car. You know?
Yeah.
And that was about it. I don't know. I don't know if I handled that correctly or not. I mean, he hasn't said it again.
Yeah.
I also recognize that maybe I say it too much. Mm-hmm. So I've now checked myself and don't say it as much anymore around them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. I feel like that is something that I found myself getting away with, you know, saying stuff that I know that I wouldn't want her to say, but she was too young to really start absorbing it.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah. But there, you just don't, there's no official like notification you get on your phone that says, oh, by the way, your kid is really starting to pick up words.
Right. You don't notice.
Yeah. It just happens one day.
Yeah.
One time, I don't think she'll be mad at me for saying this.
Let's find out.
Sure. Here we go, babe. There's one time, it was our first beach trip, and Lana was just kind of messing around saying the word beach weird, and we were packing the car, and Lana was like, all right, Rosie, ready to go to the beach? Let's go to the beach. And then we just thought, oh, ha, ha, ha. And what a funny way of saying beach.
Yeah.
And then Rosie just starts marching around going, bitch, 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 bitch. And we're like, oh, no. That happened so fast.
You know, honestly, you should start fitting her for that prison jumpsuit now.
Yeah.
It's over,
it's
man.
It's a slippery slope from here.
Of course not. You're fine.
Yeah.
But, it's funny.
But it was that moment of realizing, okay, nope, that's it. She's at that point now where if she says a word that – if we say a word that sounds funny or mm-hmm. fun to mm-hmm. her, she will now pick that word up and run with it, mm. you know? And she's also – Rosie's very highly emotional, so as soon as she starts to learn words that express those emotions, I want to be careful that those words are not words that are going to get us sent to the principal's office
right.
when she goes to preschool, which – by the way, are you sure it didn't come from his 3 weeks at preschool? What if he's already getting tainted by ruffians and delinquents?
Oh, no. Maybe he's hanging out with the wrong crowd already.
Maybe they're smoking. Maybe they're vaping behind the slide.
Oh, God. I hope not.
I hope not, too. You should check into it.
Oh, no.
Maybe they're sticking edibles in their Oreos at snack time.
I have to go to preschool and check all the little lunchboxes for Mountain Dews.
You know what you need?
That's the gateway.
Yeah.
Mountain Dew is the gateway to vaping.
Yep.
Just you everyone heard it knows
here
that. First.
Everyone knows that. You're gonna need to collect urine samples. Do some randomized drug
Is
testing.
Is there any yellow number 5 in there? Oh no. He's hanging out with the wrong crowd.
It's all yellow number 1.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Well, maybe. No, that one definitely comes from me. I'm pretty sure. Because it's you know what makes me think it comes from me? It's the inflection.
Yeah, I could see that. I saw your face.
He nailed the line reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I think the thing is, too, is that we have to recognize that you're going to get called into the teacher's office at some point.
Sure.
No matter what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. They're not going to be perfect their entire lives. So, you know, you just have to be prepared.
Yeah.
It's because it's going to happen.
Sure. Hopefully it's not for something too egregious.
No, hopefully it's just for, like, saying shit.
Yeah.
And you and the teacher can have a little chuckle over it.
Yeah.
And you'll go, oh, I'll talk to him.
Yep.
And then, you know, there you go.
Just to document that it happened.
Yeah.
Did you ever, Brett Davern as a child,
mm-hmm.
did you ever get in trouble for something that you didn't do in school? Like that a teacher like thought you did something?
Well, if you ask me, it doesn't matter what it is, I didn't do it.
It's like Shawshank Redemption.
Are you asking me now to be truthful about it?
Yes.
Because I used to get in trouble, not in trouble a lot, not like any serious trouble or anything growing up. Ooh, this microphone is like squeaky.
It's like my joints in the morning.
Hear that? Jeez. Oil this thing up. I used to get in a fair amount of like just mischievous trouble, but it was always not my fault, of course.
You were just getting pulled into it.
I didn't do it. I'm trying to think if I ever actually got in trouble for something that I legitimately didn't do. I think if I'm being really truthful about it, I had a little bit of a hand in probably everything.
Mm.
You know,
I
like,
can see that. Little Brett.
Yeah.
He's never fully innocent.
Yeah, like if my parents got hauled in to a parent-teacher conference because I was, you know, talking too much in class or something, it's probably I wasn't talking as much as the teacher made it out to be, but I probably could have been a little quieter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Interesting.
I recognize my role in everything.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
You have to be able to be honest with yourself and go, like when you cut someone off on the freeway,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if someone cuts you off.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to be able to go, nah, I've done that move before too.
Yeah. I've tried to get better at that, especially when reacting while Rosie's in the car.
Oh yeah,
because I just don't want her. I don't want her to inherit my road rage. I get road rage. I say things about people when they do stupid things. But then I've started to realize, and Lennon's actually been very integral to this. She'll say, you know, you do that. Like, everyone does that.
Yeah.
You're just not the person behind yourself when you do it.
They're watching.
I know. Everybody's watching.
They're always watching.
Yeah. I was always, when I was in elementary school, because I was homeschooling my whole life due to acting, except for basically kindergarten to fifth grade. And I was very on top of my behavior track record at school, because mm-hmm. in all of the grades that I had, I guess this is probably common, unless it was just at my school, there was always some kind of behavior symbol
sure.
for every student. So, like, you know, in kindergarten, it was your star, you know, and you would raise it or lower it. And everybody started at the top, but if they would do bad stuff throughout the day, it would get lower, lower, lower. And then by the time you got to third grade, it was colored cards, you know, so everyone started green. And then if you get a warning, it's yellow. And then if you, you know, red, and then blue is principal's office or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was one of those green card kids. And if I got that
yellow. You don't say.
Believe it or not.
That doesn't sound like the Nathan I know. I thought you were carving on desks. And smoking in the boys' room.
Yep, that was me. Just sabotaging toilets and sticking paper towels in water fountains.
You're totally,
I was a plumbing disaster.
You know what? That's you from now on. You're a green card kid.
Yeah. But that makes it sound like I was born in another country. And now
that's true.
And now I'm a resident of the United States.
That's a good point.
But in any case, if I got a yellow card, my day was over.
Really?
Yeah. I was not a happy camper. And sometimes you could fight to get a green card by the end of the day, and you'd really just be on your game and not talk to anyone in class, and, you know, you'd get re-ranked. But I had this horrible traumatic moment in kindergarten. It was my one time in the entire year I ever got my star changed, and it was for complete BS.
What happened?
Okay.
You still remember it?
Oh, I remember. I was infuriated.
Tell me about what happened 20 years ago.
I'll tell you in great
detail.
You've
been unable to forget about.
I can't forget about it, although apparently my mom went and met with a teacher and got it all sorted out because I couldn't handle it anymore.
Mama Kress getting involved.
Okay, so nap time. 1998.
That's what the little Chiron at the bottom of the screen typed in as we went to this scene. Like, it opened on a wide shot of a bunch of cots, and it was like...
Yeah, dollying across, seeing all the little five-year-olds as, like, the... Yeah.
Yeah,
as
nap time. Mm-hmm.
And 1998, where they still had typewriters. So there was still that classic sound effect. The girl next to me that day at nap time had an accident while she fell asleep.
Uh-oh.
And so I knew about it because she was right next to me, and she, like, called the teacher over, and I heard them kind of talking about it. I pretended to still be asleep so as to not make her feel bad, because she thought she was being very secretive about it.
Were you already asleep?
No. I almost never slept.
Yeah, you're just
and
laying
I can't
there.
Do it. Yeah, you just have to be quiet, lay
I
in
was
the dark.
The same way,
get
yeah.
a sticker on your hand because you were quiet.
A little quiet time.
Yeah, exactly. I think I fell asleep one time.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I drooled all over the place. There was always that one kid in your class who would wake up just in a giant puddle on the mat on the ground. It was only me that one time. But anyway, so the girl wet herself. And she, you know, went to the office. I think it was almost the end of the day. So I think they called her parent and got picked up, and that was the end of her day.
Yeah.
And so after nap time, I was at my desk. And somebody said, hey, where's so-and-so? And I think it was during class. And it was just weird. All of a sudden, she just disappeared. So we were like, where is she? And I was trying to think of what to say, because I didn't want to embarrass her and say, oh, well, she, you know, peed herself.
It's a very thoughtful six-year-old you are.
I was trying to be.
Very nice
so
of you.
So all I could come up with was, oh, she just wanted her dad. Okay. That was all I said. Just try to make it as generic as possible.
That's nice.
And my teacher whips around in her chair and goes, Nathan!
Whoa.
Change your star!
Why?
It's like, what? What did I do?
Change like, your star.
Change your star.
They made you do it yourself?
They made, yeah, because when you do it, you have to go walk over.
Oh,
same with all the car ratings. You would change
like
it yourself.
Like the walk of shame.
Yeah. So I had to get up in front of the class, slide my star down the good boy chart.
Oh.
And walk back, and everyone's just staring at me like, what did he do?
It's like that moment in Navy SEAL training when the guy wants to tap out or a girl wants to tap out. They stand up and they go have to ring the bell, but it's in front of everybody. It's so humiliating. It's like, I can't make it through. And they go, ding.
Yeah.
It's like the like a kindergarten's version
just like
of that.
Hell Week.
Oh.
It's exactly like that.
Oh.
It was horrible.
Humiliating.
I couldn't stand it.
Why did she make you change the star?
Because I still to this day, I don't know.
Because you lied?
No, I think she did want her dad. It was like, I wet myself and I want my parent. I just avoided the part where I said she wet herself.
So you still don't know why this happened to you?
I think she just thought, she probably just didn't hear my response. She just thought that I said what happened.
Oh, like you were like, ha ha, she peed herself.
Yeah, she just wanted her dad, blah, blah, blah. But I was just trying to like brush it off and just like, oh yeah, she just wanted her dad. That was it.
Oh, man.
And so she just completely misunderstood the whole thing. And I was a wreck the rest of the day. And I told my mom about it. I was like, I don't know what I did. I thought I was being nice and trying to protect her so that people didn't know that she had an accident.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, are you sure you didn't say it like in a mean, kind of snarky way? And I was like, no, I specifically was trying to be nice. And she was like, okay, I'll talk to her.
Yeah.
I'll figure out what was going on. And I never got the explanation of what she thought happened. All I know is that I got my star back.
It's funny.
She probably didn't do anything to my star because little did the kindergartners know it never matters what your star. It's not like it affects your grades in kindergarten.
It never matters. I mean, I'm only sitting here thinking about it 20 years later, but I mean, it doesn't matter.
It hasn't affected
me. It's all good. Like, it doesn't matter.
I'm totally over it.
I mean, it's not like I've tried to track that teacher down on Facebook and message her
DM
and try to find out exactly what happened and take her to court over it or anything.
No, I definitely haven't sought legal representation in this matter.
Oh, man.
Definitely not.
Wow.
So that was my kindergarten experience.
And since then, you've just always continued to never want to change your star. You always want to be a good star boy.
I want to be a good star boy. I want to be a green card boy. All day, every day.
We have to take another break, but I want to ask you or tell you, because we've been having some issues with bedtime.
Really?
And I'm going to need some help from people listening out there and then also maybe get your advice on it and find out what's going on with you over there at bedtime. I know we talk a lot about bedtime, but it's
like the most important thing.
It's what's going on, man.
Yeah. And it's always a changing.
So I'll ask you about that after the break.
Cool.
All right. So we've been I start every segment with all right.
I think that just gets you in the mode. Dad thing.
I've just noticed. All right, like, come back from the break and I'm like, all right.
That's what I say right before I say action while I'm directing.
Really?
Yeah. All right, here we go, and action.
Okay, so then I'll not be self-conscious about it.
No, you shouldn't. I realize that I say like a lot while I'm explaining things and telling stories. I listen back to these and I go, oh, why am I saying like so much?
It's a generational thing. I do it too.
But I get so annoyed when I hear other people do it, and then I realize I'm a hypocrite because I do it too.
I know.
But everybody does it, so I shouldn't feel too bad about it. But all those Bachelor contestants— it's just like.
The next time you do it inappropriately, you're going to have to go change your star. Let's put up a board in the studio.
That will motivate me like nothing else.
Let's put up a good boy board in the studio that you just have to, if you say something wrong or dumb or whatever, or say the word like too much, we can just say to each other, go change your star. That was silly.
I will instantly stop saying the word like ever. If that happens, I will be highly incentivized.
All right. So we've been having issues with the boy specifically because the girl can't get out of her bed. She's still in the crib. We're about 2 or 3 months away from moving her out of the crib.
Pause.
Yes.
I thought you said no monitor.
No monitor.
So in the crib, but no monitor?
Yeah, no, she's fine.
But how do you, she can't go out, like, if something's...
Oh, you hear her. She's like, Mom, like, you can hear her. The bedrooms are right next to each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, she's not, the way the house is set up, like, the bedrooms are all off of one hallway, and it's right there. So it's, you can hear her.
Okay.
It's
so fine. In the estate, it's just the bedroom wing.
Right. Yeah, in the mansion.
And they just cloister them.
In the mansion, yes. All 27 bedrooms are right next to each other.
That's smart.
It's a pod of bedrooms.
It's economical.
But anyway, so she's still in the crib, at least for the next maybe like 2 months. But he's in his big boy bed. He's been in there for a while now. Mm-hmm. And so he can get in and out of it anytime he wants and blah, blah, blah. And for about the last like 6 months, it's been pretty bad. He'll get up like two or three times during the night, even like 4 or 5 times sometimes if it's bad.
Wow.
But there's nothing, he's not upset. He's not having a bad dream. He doesn't have to use the bathroom. There's nothing, there's no reason. Hmm. He just gets up and he'll just walk into our room. Well, he'll kind of like jog in our room. You hear him coming. It's like
the pitter patter.
And then he'll just be standing there. And you'll go, hey, what's going on? And he'll just go, I just want you. I just want you. Yeah, so it's like a...
It's a comfort thing.
Separation thing, yeah, like a comfort thing. Like, he just is checking to make sure you're still there. So I get it, but it's annoying. And it doesn't help you get good sleep.
Yeah,
and,
especially when you're waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
To do the morning show, yeah. So it's been a problem. And so we've been trying to figure out how to combat this, because when he was a baby, we did the sleep training and stuff.
Right.
But now at 4 and a half, you can't just say, I'm going to stand like holding your door shut or something. Like, he's basically a person now, you know what I mean? As opposed to like a newborn. So it's like, you know, it's a real conundrum.
Interesting.
I'm not going to put a lock on his door or on our door, because then that seems weird and archaic.
Right.
And so we've been trying to figure out what to do. So the first thing that we did was just, you know, stand up, talk to him, reassure him. Hey, buddy, like, it's okay. Do you got to go to the bathroom? Like, what's going on? How can we fix this? Let's walk you back to bed. And then, but then that gets real old real fast and you start to get frustrated. Mm. So then the next thing was, okay, let's just stand up, walk him back to his bed, come right back. Like, because we got to thinking, maybe he's not even fully awake anyway.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem to remember it.
Have you ever asked him?
Yeah. We're like, do you remember getting up a bunch of times last night? He's like, no. And if you are awake, you ever do that thing? Even like when I was a kid, I remember my parents the next morning would say, oh, you know, you came in and said this and that. And I just go, I don't remember that. You know, even if you're not technically sleepwalking, you know what I mean? Like, something just happens in the middle of the night. It's very quick. You don't really remember it.
Interesting. I talk a lot. I have full blown conversations with people while I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Well, I just recorded one a couple days ago. Hmm. It was very weird. It was about, I think, bananas and the PGA and Costco.
Well, we're going to have to play that on the show.
Yep.
We got to get that recording.
Yep. She will. I'm sure she will deliver it
to you. Text me that recording, please.
Okay.
I need that recording in my life.
Yep. I wish it was longer. She wasn't able to get to her phone in time.
I don't really know what to do. We don't really know what to do about it. Last night, we started something brand new, though, that I haven't really even checked in yet to see if it worked. I think it worked, but then again, sometimes I don't wake up when they come in, so I'm not really sure. But what we decided to do was we went and we got him a fun nightlight that's like, it's shaped like an elephant.
Okay.
And it has like what looks like water coming out of its tusk. It's like a cartoony, like the little things that look like water coming out are like these threads that light up and they're cute. And so you plug it into the wall and it's like just this cutesy nightlight, right? Mm. But I made up this whole thing when we gave him the nightlight. Much before he went to bed, like an hour before he went to bed, I said, hey, buddy, I have a surprise for you. And he was like, what? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, it's only for big boys. And he was like, I'm a big boy. And I was like, well, then, buddy, this is for you. And he was like, what is it? And I go, well, when you become a big boy, you sleep like a big boy. Because you go to school like a big boy, right? And he said, yeah, I go to school like a big boy. And I said, do you want to sleep like a big boy? And he said, I want to sleep like a big boy. And I said, well, big boys sleep with their doors shut, with the lights off. But they get one of these, and I pulled it out, and it's like this cartoon elephant nightlight. And he was like, what is that? And I was like, you plug it into the wall, and it stays on all night. And he's like, no way. And I was like, it stays on all night. And it's going to be there for you all night. And he'll watch you, and he'll make sure you're okay. And every time you wake up, he'll be on. He'll always be there. And then you don't have to come and get mommy and daddy because this thing is here. Like, oh! I don't know. I'm turning this thing into the parent sort of. And I, like, caught myself. I was like, well, that was a little weird. But I was in the improvisation. I was in the moment.
Yeah, just go with it.
Can't go back now.
Yes, and.
And he's just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I was like, we should name him. What do you want to name him? And he goes, all right, well, first I said, is it a boy or a girl? He's like, it's a boy. And I was like, okay. And he goes, I go, what do you want to name him? And he goes, let's name him Shorty. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever, whatever you want.
Not too many short elephants
so
out there.
So then in like going to bed, I was like, okay, let's find a place to plug him in. And so we plugged him into the wall and he can like see it from the bed. And it really does like put like a nice glow in the whole room when the lights are off. And so I was like, okay, so Shorty is plugged in and Shorty will be here all night and Shorty will be here to protect you and watch over you. And, you know, he'll stay awake all night while you're sleeping. And then during the day, he'll go to sleep while you're awake. And this is going to be this whole like thing. And so I think it worked pretty good because I left the room last night after putting him to bed and we, you know, pulled the door shut, which he usually doesn't let us do.
Yeah.
And so.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe stumbled onto something here.
Yeah, man.
Maybe also used some manipulation and like made up a whole story.
A little bit of psychology.
He's gonna buy, but I don't know.
But none of that is really so much a lie, honestly.
No,
it's
just
taking reality and framing it in a way that excites and makes a 4.5-year-old understand.
Well, I got to thinking, I had a teddy bear in my bed that I thought protected me all night long, like that I put all of these like projections onto.
Yeah.
So why not?
I don't think there's anything at all that's wrong with that.
Okay.
But so let me ask you this. So he never, growing up as a baby and up until before the elephant, he never had a nightlight or anything?
No.
He slept in a completely dark room?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a little light coming off like the humidifier that we've talked about before. There's an alarm clock in there that's just like a clock. I mean, the alarm never goes off. Uh-huh. But so there's like
little
glow
ambient
from
stuff.
A few things. There's light coming from under the door in the hallway, you know, when we're still awake and stuff. So
I wonder if it's going to be different for us because that's really smart to build kind of a lore around a nightlight, you know, especially if it's kind of an animal object that you say has, you know, it has eyes, it'll watch you and all this stuff. Because what we kind of had the plan for, well, let me ask you this really quickly. Does he wake up too early? Like before he's supposed to, or do you guys go in and wake him up?
No, oh no, he comes in.
So this is also, I know, a common problem with parents is like, how do we make our kids understand that it's too early,
right?
You know, to come in.
Right.
We have this thing from Hatch. It's a nightlight. It's also a sound machine. It's kind of cone shaped. It's got 30 different colors that you can make it.
Okay.
And it cycles, but you can program it from your phone. You can control it through Bluetooth to control it outside the room.
Jeez.
To turn it on, off, volume up, down, brightness up, down, control the color, whatever.
Wow.
And you can set it to whatever presets you want. Since she was a baby, we've just had it on white light at the lowest setting with just a standard white noise.
Okay.
Sound, or no, a wind, I think, sound.
Okay, effect. Okay.
And we've been using that, and she loves it. She doesn't have to have it when we're traveling and everything, but it's really helpful while we're there at home. So she's always had some source of light. What the best part about it is, it has an okay to wake feature.
Okay.
Where you can program it to go from one color to another color.
Oh.
At a certain time in the morning.
Uh-huh.
This is something I was going to tell you about this weeks ago.
It's like a stoplight.
Basically, yeah. So you can pick his favorite color.
Yeah.
If his favorite color is green.
Green means go.
Yeah, exactly. So you say it's going to be blue all night long. And if it's blue, then you don't go get mommy and daddy.
Oh,
it
weird.
It means you get to stay in bed and you get to sleep longer and your elephant gets to, Shorty gets to watch you.
Shorty.
And you're okay. And blue means that mommy and daddy are there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you see the color, that means that they're there and they're listening or, you know, whatever you want to say. But when it turns green, that means you can go up and get mommy and daddy.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
so, I've never even heard of this.
Yeah. It's like it's becoming a little bit more of a common thing. Rather than trying to teach your kid, okay, when the shorthand points to the seven,
you know. Yeah, of course.
So rather than teaching them to do an analog clock or even a digital clock, just color code it and set it to go off at a certain time.
I like it.
So although I have heard kind of horror stories, there was one that said they misprogrammed it.
Yeah.
And it went off like 2 hours later and they walked in all concerned and the kid was just sitting there in bed really freaked out.
I just didn't want to leave until the light.
Because you said don't get out of bed until it turns that color.
Yeah, that could create like some sort of weird something or another.
So you do have to test it out and make sure you programmed it right.
Well, I think part of the reason that I never really wanted to go with the nightlight is because I always want them to sort of be at like, this is my own stupidity probably, but I just always want them to be sort of at like a baseline thing so that they don't have to be that kid who goes to summer camp who needs a nightlight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who like becomes dependent on something, whether it's a nightlight or anything.
Yeah.
I just sort of want them to be able to go through life without having to be dependent on something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If this thing works, then, I mean, why not? And then you just have to have that conversation just like with a pacifier or anything where you go, okay, you're too old now. You're 16. We're going to take Shorty away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's the thing. Eventually, you can start to turn off the nightlight when their body clock becomes a little bit more normal and they start to understand, or they can read a digital clock.
So, bottom line, you think we're okay and we did the right thing?
I think so.
All right,
I think
good.
building a persona around the nightlight is good. But if you also want to combine that with not coming in too early and color coding it, then maybe think about doing this kind of nightlight too that has an okay to wake feature.
Well, as you know, Nathan, I'm not going to consult a professional. I'm just going to ask you.
I know all the products.
I'm just saying if you think that I'm okay as a dad, then that's good enough for me. I don't need to know what Dr. Freud would say about it.
So I'll just come in every week and just let you know what a great job you're doing.
Well, no, but but you could disagree too, is what I'm saying.
Like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
I thought you were looking for just another yes man in your life.
No, God, no. I have too many of those.
Yeah.
Especially at the estate.
Exactly. Your staff is Mr. Davern. Certainly, Mr. Davern. Of course, Mr. Davern. Right away, Mr. Davern.
Oh, man, we're out of time.
Doggone it. It happens every time. We didn't even talk about the thing you were saying you wanted to talk about.
Please, no more cursing, Nathan.
Drat.
Doggone it.
Stink bug. Fooey on a stick.
Well, be careful. You're approaching yellow card country, my friend.
That's true. I'm about to have to change my star. don't want to be a yellow card boy.
Do you think we covered it?
Well, I think we did pretty good this time.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Good for us. Bye.